We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Come on, guys. Early worm gets the worm.
Another worm? Like, are they friends?
This early bird gets the worm.
With Dusty Hera.
That kid probably needs to be punched in the face.
In an ideal world, I would have all 10 fingers on my left hand, so my right hand could just be a fist for punching.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
No, I'm not a meat gazer.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
He's like the Lone Ranger, and I'm like Tonto. And it's not like there was the Lone Ranger and Tonto and Bonto.
The Fan.
All right, hour number three of Dusty and Cam in the Morning. We'll have Blazers-Warriors reaction. Game one of the Western Conference Finals goes Golden State's way, 116-94. But right now, joining us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline is a former Portland Trailblazer. He was here from 1998 through 2003. And was on the team the last time the Blazers were in the conference finals. He's now playing in the Big Three for Tri-State, which is coached by Dr. Jane. He plays with another former Blazer, Jermaine O'Neal. It is Bonzi Wells joining us now. Bonzi, good morning. How you doing, man?
I'm good, my brothers. How y'all doing?
Wonderful.
Doing great. You know, the last time Blazers were in the conference finals, you were on the team. It was 19 years ago. It's crazy that it was 19 years ago now. But it went seven games with the Lakers, and you guys got beat in game one by 15 points. Can you kind of take us through that run to the Western Conference Finals in 2000? Because that was like your coming out party here in Portland, where you strung together some great playoff performances.
That was good times, man. Golly, it sounds like you feel old. You said 19 years ago. Wow. You know, it goes by fast, though. It goes by fast. But I remember during that time, man, I was young. I think I was in my second year, and I was just maybe getting my first time really getting some NBA experience because I didn't play much from that first year, the lockout year. So I was just really just getting on the court, and everything was like a blur that year. I knew we had a really good team. We was competitive every night throughout that season. We looked like one of the better teams throughout the whole regular season, and then when we got into the playoffs, I mean, I remember I think we knocked off Utah, which was big for us during that run. And I think when we got to the Lakers, I mean, everybody knows the story with that. But just going to seven games against a tough L.A. Lakers team, you know, big market against a small market, however you want to call it. I mean, it was just everything was against us. And, you know, we pushed it to the limits and, you know, we came up a little bit short.
You know, Bonzi, after playing with so many teams and being in multiple different locker rooms, you look at this Blazer team and you see someone like a Damian Lillard and you hear this theory or all it's being told over and over, culture, attitude, kind of what the Blazers have done and what Dame's done here. How important is it, if you look at someone like a Damian Lillard, to want to be here in Portland and with the guys jumping super teams and the mentality of the NBA nowadays, do you look at Dame and go, man, this is so rare and it's so important to have the kind of success by his leadership?
Definitely. I mean, but that's just kind of what we're used to. I mean, you always wanted to be loyal to your team and stay where you're at and people that, you know, gave you a chance. And that's what it's all about. I mean, this new NBA where guys jump ship and go play with homies just to chase championships. I mean, that's a young man's game. I mean, I respect everything about Dame Lillard. I mean, everything he stands for, you know, everything he brings to the city of Portland and, you know, and how he represents from his home, too. And just Dame is great. I love CJ McCollum. I mean, I like the whole dynamics of the team, and then it takes a great coach too. And I've never knew Coach Stout, but he looked like he's a great guy to kind of blend all those different characters together and make it just, you know, play well as a family.
Bonzi Wells is our guest. Former Blazer, played here in 1998 to 2003, now playing in the Big Three, which starts their season at the end of next month. You know, one thing you say, Dame is old school, and he's a guy that one thing I love about him is if somebody comes at him on social media, he'll come right back at you. Is there a part of you that wishes that maybe social media existed back when you were playing in Portland because of the sometimes unfair criticism that came your way?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's crazy that all the stuff that we were doing back then that we got crucified for is all accepted today. You know, and you know, we were back then, if you even spoke a word, you would be you get fined $25,000-$50,000 for conduct detrimental to the league or whatever, however the case they want to put it out there that we did something wrong. So, you know, guys just kept their mouth shut. You know, when stories used to come out about guys, and which we knew that were totally false and fabricated, we couldn't say nothing because we didn't have the power of the pen back then. So I'm thankful that these guys finally got a voice where they can say what really happened, and they can hear, people can hear both sides of the story and form their own opinion instead of just hearing one-sided, because you have to truly understand a lot of our lives has been judged off things that happened or didn't happen to us in Portland, and that's unfair.
You know, and you talk about that. There, you say that stories were written and things were fabricated, and one of the ones that comes to mind is the Sports Illustrated article that you were involved in, and it was misconstrued from what I've read in what you've said now, years later. What happened with that Sports Illustrated article and the guy who wrote it said that you didn't like the fans who were booing you?
You know, that was the craziest thing ever. I remember that clown came into town, and it was just during the height of all the people were writing stuff about the jail, you know, the quote-unquote jailbreakers, you know, what they dubbed us. And people, he was just looking for a hot story, and everybody knew it, that he was just fishing. And, you know, but it was Sports Illustrated, so he was trying to come up like he was writing a feel-good article about us, trying to set the record straight. So it was a game that we had came to, and we had a bad run, and I think the fans had actually started booing us. And he had asked me about the quote, and he said, "Bonzi, how do you feel about the fans booing you?" And I said, I hate it. I said, "We all hate when the fans boo us." I said, "Nobody like to get booed." And he's like, "Well," he asked me something after that, and I was just like, "We don't hate the fans. We just hate getting booed, but we deserve to get booed at the time." Mm-hmm. And he just kind of just ran with it. And then when he wrote the first quote, was like, "Bonzi Wells said he hates the fans," and I was like, "Wow." And I just remember that next day I came into the Rose Garden, the next game or whatever, and I just got booed so bad. It just was bad from then on, and I never had a chance. I mean, you can never even find a quote from me back then because I never got asked about it. Nobody never gave me a chance to even say what really happened. They just believed that this guy from Sports Illustrated, who I've never met in my life, and I would just say something like that to him. And people believed it. And it was just the craziest thing ever.
And that kind of shaped how people viewed you after that here in Portland, too.
It did. But it really hurt because I'm from Indiana, which is a basketball state, and we try to stand with each other. And I just was hoping that Portland wouldn't even fall for that. That's right. Why I never spoke on it. I was just like, man, they can't believe it. There's no way they could believe that this guy would just come in and Bonzi Buzz and say, "I hate the fans," and knowing how hard I played, how much passion I played with, I was never a problem. You know, never a problem. I just played hard. I might get some technical fouls, but we're in combat, and it's not going to be sweet in combat. So, but other than that, that was my only mark against me, and that really hurt me that when the fans kind of went against me, but I understood it, but I didn't have the power to talk about what really happened. I mean, because I was scared of getting fined.
You know, you mentioned that, Bonzi, about being able to have social media and you get a chance to really defend yourself or tell everybody the true story. Is that like what players are now? Do you see the freedom that players have in this league now that they can do what they want, from Kyrie jumping, from LeBron moving, from everybody having that? Is that a culture of AAU culture? Is it just kind of how the game is moving forward? Because financially, we see a guy last night, Zion Williams, he didn't look like he wanted to go to New Orleans. What is this league made up of? Guys that kind of want to join up or loyalty?
I mean, I think it's more, you know, we've got the most influence. It's all about influence, and everybody just want to be on the hot wave. I mean, if Zion Williamson wasn't the whole Zion Williamson, the whole stuff we made him out to be, he would just be a humble kid from South Carolina, happy as heck that he about to be number one pick to New Orleans or whoever the heck picked him. But now, since the handler's getting your ear and all that stuff and tell you about your market value and how much money you're going to win, make or lose, whether you go to this market or that, and then you start thinking dollars instead of, you know, what you really love in basketball. So it's different now because everything is financial now. And back when we were coming up, man, we loved the game, and we always had a dream of maybe making it out of our situation and making some money, but we loved the game nonetheless. And these kids, it's just a different – not saying they don't love the game. It's just different because they grew up in with a financial mindset on how this game is supposed to be because it's such a blueprint nowadays.
Bonzi Wells is our guest, former Portland Trailblazer. And you came from Ball State. I mean, you said you're from Indiana. You stayed in Indiana. Yep. You went to Ball State. Do you think that like going from Ball State to Portland, we look at Dame went to Weber State. You got C.J. McCollum who went to Lehigh. Do you think that there is an element of guys kind of going from that mid-major school to a city like Portland and having that chip on your shoulder maybe works better here than it would be in some other big cities?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm from a small town in Indiana, and when I got to Portland was like New York City to me. People just don't know because I've never, we only got one mall in my town. We got, two or three high schools. We're not a big town. So when I got to Portland, I was like, wow. And it was like, this is a small market. And then as I got to living there and understanding that, people embraced me. They embraced me so good in Portland. It just felt like home. So I was like, man, I love playing here. Like, it was just so cool. I could come there. Damon was from there, which was one of my best friends on the team. And he showed me around Portland. And I met so many people in the Portland community that just showed so much love to me and made me feel at home. So it's just like I wanted to just come out there and play hard every single night. So I just remember the night I was traded. Man, it broke my heart so bad because I had to find out about it watching SportsCenter and saw my name at the bottom of the TV. And I was like, wow. And it just really broke my heart because I just, just feel like, dang, first they want me, now they don't want me. And it was just like, I couldn't believe it. Everything happened so fast. So that was just really a tough moment for me the day I left Portland.
So, I mean, you're a human, too. I mean, you're a basketball player, but you're human. Do you hold a grudge against Portland at all or the fans?
No, because the fans are just uninformed. For a moment, I did for a minute. But then I understood it was a business. But then as I got to seeing, I was like, Bonzi, you never even told your side of the story. So the fans only heard one side. So It's not their fault that they only heard one side of the story. So I didn't really talk about it. And as I got older as a man, I'm like, Bonzi, you need to go ahead and start telling your story. And we need to heal. Like, it's no problem. It's no reason that Bonzi Wells can ever have anybody feeling ill feel about him in the Portland area. Because it's just basketball. It's not. I mean, we love the game, but it's not real life, And I was just blessed as any young kid who had a dream playing basketball. I was living it, and I never did. It wasn't no blueprint. I'm from a small town. I never had money in my life. I was poor as heck on Monday, and I had money on Tuesday. And it wasn't no. And it wasn't no. It wasn't no. And people were expecting me to know how to handle all that stuff, and I was learning on the fly. And I was just thankful that Portland was small enough and they embraced me enough to let me make my mistakes. Without it getting too bad, but just when that Sports Illustrated thing happened, it was just like, wow. Like, man, that just really hurt me because I had a great relationship with Portland before then.
Bonzi, you and I are both 70s kids. I was born in 75. You're 76. I can't imagine heading back to play anything because I was a football guy, but you're heading back to play in the Big Three. What was it? Was it something that you just said, hey, man, I want to get back around ball. I want to be back around the locker room. I miss the locker room every day. What was it saying? I think it's time for me to go make a run, get back and play on this half court. I could take advantage of this. Tell me a little about the Big Three, about what you're getting after.
Man, when the opportunity came, it was a bunch of us guys who we're considered the founding fathers of the league that had a vision with Ice Cube that this is something that we wanted to start. And, a lot of guys wish we could have started this a few more years ago and we still had some legs up under us. But that's another story. But, It was great that, Ice Cube came up with the concept, and he was just like, this is my vision, how do you guys feel about it? And we just started from scratch on how we wanted the league to be and the vision. We had a 3 to 5 year plan on where we wanted to go with it. And to be sitting here in year three after just being able to, go to city to city, playing in your favorite arenas, playing in front of your fans again, being around your fellow, people that you play with or competed against, man, it's just been an unbelievable experience, man. And if people haven't been out to see the Big Three yet, they need to come out and check us out because it's a good time. We can still play a little bit, and we changed the rules a little bit. We got some younger guys in to kind of, speed up the pace a little bit, but it's a great time, man. It's just, please come out and check us out if you got a chance.
Yeah, the season tips off in Detroit on June 22nd. He is on Tri-State with Nate Robinson. Oh, UW guy.
Nate Rob, baby.
Jermaine O'Neal, Amari Stoudemire, Jason Richardson, coached by Dr. J as well. And Bonzi, before we let you go, one thing that, you said you were misconstrued. Do you think that your era in the whole team as a whole was misconstrued? that quote unquote jailblazer era, as you brought up?
Oh, definitely. I mean, definitely. It was just the media that saw us up trying to bring us down, and that's just their job. And, you know, you got to respect it because that's just what they do. And I'm not saying it about you guys. I mean, you guys are great. You know what I'm saying? But back then, man, it was just what it was. And you know, they got to understand we were some young kids living our dream, and we're going to make mistakes every now and then, but it wasn't something we was trying to do on purpose. But we love basketball. We competed at a high level every single night. We just came up short, and we were just getting judged for coming up short, and people and the media just didn't like that, and they just wanted to bring us down. So hopefully, you know, one day we'll be able to tell our true story on all the stuff that happened in Portland, and people could just really just understand and just really just form their opinion from then on out.
Is there that, I mean, there was that report, and Damon Stoudemire made some headlines. He was talking on a show that's on our station, their afternoon show. He was talking about HBO was starting to make a documentary about that jailblazer era. Has anything come of that, or is anything in the works out of a 30 for 30 or an HBO thing or something like that where you guys get to tell your story?
Well, a couple years back, we heard some stories about a reporter around there. I can't think of his name, and he wrote a book, or he was writing a book about the jailblazers, and we was hearing stuff that rumbling that people was going to try to tell our story. So we just, you know, me, Rasheed, Damon, and a couple other guys just said, hey, why don't we just come together and tell our own story? So it's something we're in the works doing now, and we've got to just, you know, you got to go through a whole lot of processes before you can even, you know, get stuff going forward. So we're just going through the process, and hopefully we'll get stuff out, something out real soon, and telling our own stories about what they call it, the quote-unquote jailblazers.
Awesome. Bonzi Wells, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Bonzi.
You mentioned awesome. That you wanted the fans to know that you appreciated them, and we have a text line where people can text into the show. And I just want you to know, since you've come on, you started telling your story, it's been blowing up with people saying, we loved Bonzi. We named our yellow lab Bonzi after him, and people appreciating, we've got a bunch of texts from people appreciating your time and the work that you put in here. So we appreciate you taking a few minutes to tell your side of the story.
Well, I appreciate it. Let's start a petition to bring that 2000 team back so we can come support our guys in the Western Conference Finals, man. I'd love to come back and see the Portland fans. I look forward to it. That's something we need.
I love it. Bonzi Wells, everybody. You can catch him in the Big Three. It's a great perspective, man. Mm-hmm. It's a great perspective that he gives to their side of the story. And a side that we haven't heard really anything about.
Years.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about it. 19 years ago was when they were in the Western Conference Finals, man. And they had some good teams. Thinking about some of the things that happened in that. You know, the Sheed and Damon Stoudemire getting pulled over with, you know, weed coming back from Seattle. How would we look at those things now? How would we look at
a different time? It really is.
At Bonzi,
yeah.
You know, and outside of a nightclub where he was just standing there and the cops said, go away. And he was like, no.
Did you see Kristaps Porzingis get his butt handed to him outside of a club in his hometown?
And by the way, Bonzi wasn't even in the fight.
He wasn't even in the fight.
It's a weird thing because we say we would hate to be in the social media era, but guys like Bonzi Wells are like, actually, I wish it was there so I could defend myself.
Didn't Blake Griffin like punch out his coach outside of a? I mean, come on, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, 55305. Better you today, text sign. Some of your reaction to that interview and the Blazers falling game one of the Western Conference Finals, 116-94. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, we had Bonzi Wells on. If you missed that interview, Buck will have it up on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. Mixed reaction from the Jailblazers era. You know, it was Bonzi Wells, I think people forget he was never arrested. He just was the face of the Jailblazers era because he was the team captain. But I think we also forget, like, so they thought he was like, he got in trouble for cussing out Mo Cheeks. He wouldn't leave the scene of where a fight happened out in front of a nightclub. Wasn't involved in the fight. Mm-hmm. And so he was cited. Other than that, like, Bonzi had, and then we heard him say the quote was kind of misconstrued that he gave to Sports Illustrated. He wasn't like getting arrested and things like that. He wasn't Quintel Woods, for goodness sakes, he was like in trouble for dogfighting, you know? It was interesting to hear his side of the story, and I thought it was it was good to hear the other side of it and perspective of it.
There's always two sides to every story.
Yeah. This text says, I don't believe it. I don't buy it. I wonder how many people out there that, you know, accountability on things.
Everybody's going to, they're going to form their opinions and hold on to it. It just.
Maybe in his defense, we didn't pose anything where like we made him take any culpability in it, you know?
I don't think it's not what our job is to do.
No, as this text says, it was fascinating. I haven't been holding a grudge or anything against Bonzi for all these years, but he has a reputation around the city, which now seems unfair. It was good to hear from him.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the thing. And Buck, what did Bonzi tell you? You mentioned that he said something to you when we got off the phone with him.
Yeah, I picked up the phone and just to thank him, and he said, no, thank you guys. That was actually really therapeutic for me, and I'd be happy to come on again in the future.
Therapeutic is an interesting word, and an interesting way to put it is that he had some stuff he wanted to get off his chest for sure, you know? And I think that probably a lot of those guys in the Jailblazers era do want to get a lot of stuff off their chest, and I hope that HBO thing that he was talking about where he and Damon and Sheed, I hope that happens where they talk to those guys because it was a weird time in Blazers history, and man, that was a dominant team in the early 2000s that, you know, fell apart probably because of the last time the Blazers won the Western Conference Finals and how they lost to the Lakers in Game 7. You know, it was 89-84 in Game 7 against the Lakers, and then the unraveling kind of happened from there.
Yeah, the yellow Hummer incident, that's a good text. That's funny.
Well, yeah, and that's what I talked about with Damon and Sheed smoking weed. They got caught with weed driving from Seattle to Portland after a game, which is wild that they drove from Seattle to Portland after a game, you know? Was it J.R. Ryder, the weed outside in Lake Oswego on the side of the road?
This text said the holier-than-thou and the Portland weirdos are a whole lot more judgmental than they want to believe. Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, like the booing, it takes a lot to get Blazer fans to boo the Blazers, and they were in the middle of a rut when everything kind of happened, and then they just turned on you really quick. No fan base is immune to when your team is bad turning on them.
Yeah,
you know, I think we sit there and we say Portland's such a passionate sports town because the Blazers have been really damn good too.
I know, but that's all you have here. So you're going to hyper-focus on everything, every little thing about that team, that organization, every player down to the minute. You can't hide in this city. If you're a Blazer, you know everything.
Yeah.
There's no way to hide. It's not like you're New York or LA.
Yeah. As Dio points out, it is easy to forgive some of the Jail Blazers, but guys like Ruben Patterson can go to hell. I agree. All right. Sure. Let's do that. All right, this Blazers team that we have right now, they have no such issues off the floor with what's been going on with the Portland Trail Blazers. On the floor, maybe a different story, though. Terry Stotts got a little upset when it came to the reporters questioning his defensive tactics, which may be justified. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. Zion Williamson looks like he is headed to New Orleans as the Pelicans, against all odds almost, 6% chance to land the number one pick. They did it. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, ESPN did Zion the disservice of interviewing him immediately following that announcement. Terrible.
When you saw New Orleans got the number one pick, you didn't think for a second, I could be in New Orleans?
It's definitely a possibility, but I mean, it's not sure until it actually happens.
Uh-huh. Have you ever been before?
I've never been.
He's getting crushed for that.
Why?
I don't know. Like, people are saying, that clearly shows he doesn't want to be in New Orleans. Well, he hasn't been drafted yet. I think he's actually trying to be humble by saying, I don't know.
The NBA just floundered that side of the by putting the players on display prior to a draft, which was a lottery. So that I didn't like that. I didn't like that RJ Barrett and Ja Morant had to sit up there and be asked questions about what system Zion is going to fit in.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Well, that was bad.
And so the poor guy, he's not really a poor guy, but it was awkward It's awkward watching them just post every single highlight over and over again about him while all these other dudes are sitting there going, what are we here for?
Well, and think of this. All Zion Williamson had been told, you're probably going to New York, Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Over and over.
Phoenix or Cleveland, right? Like, in Phoenix or Cleveland are like, but half of the teams that everybody was saying, hey, New York or Chicago, you're going to be in one of those big ones. Mm-hmm. And then it's, hey, you're either going to Memphis or New Orleans.
Yibbity-goo! This is great for the NBA because this comes from Rudy Gobert, but Rudy has said it. We just witnessed the end of tanking, praying emoji, and we should be extremely happy about it. Yeah. Congratulations to Adam Silver and the NBA. Because all the morons out there that think tanking is the way you make successful franchises, the leader of this league said no more.
These six worst records in the NBA, only one of them is in the top four picks, and that is the New York Knicks.
That's a golf clap for me because this now signifies that even the league understands that we're not going to allow this garbage fanboy mentality to say, let's tank and get it.
Well, the Cavs have the fifth pick, the Suns the sixth pick, and how about that for the Suns? They spent an entire season intentionally being crappy.
For six.
For six.
Woo! That makes me feel so good.
The Bulls are seventh, followed by Atlanta, Washington, and then Atlanta again, two top 10 picks for Atlanta. But did you have this feeling when you saw both L.A. and New York were in there? I was like, don't do it.
The fix
don't
is on.
Don't do it. And then they went complete opposite. In the lottery, which is the top four picks, are the two biggest markets in the media markets in the NBA and the two smallest media markets in the NBA.
I really wish they would bring the balls back out. I really do. And we got that kind of excitement. I don't know if I trust the cards as they walk out, as they tried to sell me the security director is the only one that knows this, blah, blah. I would like to see the balls out.
There's two marks that Buck is making right now.
Don't you think that'd be more fun? Uh-huh. Can we go back to the old way?
I heard that, was it the Celtics VP said that they were one digit away, the last number. It was either Memphis being the second pick or Boston almost got the number two pick. It was one number, the one very number. Last number. Hey.
How do we know?
What?
How do we know?
Because they released the number to the executives.
I know
after
they released the number.
Yeah. But it was the vice president who was like,
I think it'd be more interesting to see that. I don't need to see the players sitting there discussing their future because we don't know who's going to be drafted where.
Yeah.
But I would like to see that.
I do enjoy, though, that teams do have a fair shot at winning the lottery because one of the worst things about the lottery was, okay, it was supposed to decentivize tanking, was the whole point of the lottery. Is that more teams have chances, but it wasn't enough of a chance. I think that rewarding teams that play hard at the end of the year is a great thing. It should be that way. I think you should have high chances if you are a team that's... you're playing your butt off at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Sure, you're one piece away. You're going to have far much more parity in your league that way.
Mm-hmm. There should be incentive for being successful, don't you think?
Do you think the NFL is going to end up doing this ever?
No. The NFL's got a great system.
Which is the... What do you mean?
Well,
it's the same thing as the NBA used to be, and they brought in the lottery.
The NFL's never gonna deviate off their path because the league is such a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately injury-prone, massive amount of roster spot league.
So why not do it? Why not make the even more intrigue over
because
your draft
process?
Because
the bad franchises that continue to draft at the top are crappy because they're run crappy, not because they draft bad.
Because they're continually bad. They do draft bad, so give teams a shot that draft well to get up there.
I don't know if I believe that all the time, Dusty. I do believe that these teams draft well, they develop like crap.
Okay, well, then these guys a chance who are great draft picks to develop in a place that could be good. How's that bad for the league? You have a team that's on the cusp of playoffs, barely misses, and all of a sudden they go and they can get Nick Bosa for their offensive line, that'd be awesome.
Defensive line,
not offensive line. Or how about, a team like, I have no idea. Take Miami, for instance. Mm-hmm. Miami goes 7-9. What if they win the NFL lottery and they get Kyler Murray? What does that do?
Well, we don't know what Kyler Murray will turn out to be.
Well, I know, but right now
Yeah,
they
looks
got
sexy.
Ryan Fitzpatrick in. Who did they end up drafting?
Well, they got Josh Rosen now.
Josh Rosen.
They got him on trade, which is a much better setup.
Right. Well,
I think that a lot of
A
lot of bad franchises continue to have this mentality when they draft, is they go, well, we drafted the most talented guy. Go get it for us.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have to develop and coach. That's exactly what bad franchises, both in every sport, do. They wait for the easy way out. See, college, you have to go out and recruit and you develop. And you actually coach kids to be better. I think the NFL and the NBA get very lazy. I think the bottom franchises are that way because they're lazy and they want someone to do it for them. They want LeBron James to do it for you. Instead, great franchises coach. Well, the Lakers just think that they can draft somebody and everyone will show up and they'll just be magically delicious. Okay? They do. It's not Lucky Charms. You actually have to coach and develop a player.
Yeah, I know. That's why I think the draft would be better for the NFL.
NFL's got it. I mean, they won it all.
Pittsburgh, one game out of the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Tennessee, one game out of the playoffs last year. What
baseball's
are those teams?
The one that needs the excitement. They should go lottery.
If those
baseball
teams,
needs something because their draft is blah.
But if those teams were able to do it, then we wouldn't have to see New York, the Jets and the Raiders continue to screw up their picks.
I felt bad
picks.
For New York. Stephen A. was just whining in his car and in the dark in the back of his car. Everybody's whining.
Don't feel bad for the Knicks.
Oh.
And I definitely don't feel bad for $10 million man Stephen A. Smith.
Hey, yeah.
You know what, though? This could be even better for the Pelicans. The Pelicans, what if they trade Anthony Davis for the number 4 pick to the Knicks?
Jose, say that. No, because the Knicks
the
have the
three pick.
The Knicks have the third pick. They could draft RJ Barrett.
Okay, well,
which I would argue RJ wants nothing of Zion anymore. I will stare. I from everything that I'm looking at, the way body language and eyes, RJ Barrett's like, I do not want to play with Zion. I want my own opportunity. Get me away from the Zion shadow. Which it would be terrible if you put RJ and Zion together. That's my own personal opinion. I don't like it. I think RJ's goes, enough of this.
What if you say, fine, we know that he doesn't want it. We're going to go trade Anthony Davis for, we tell you who you're drafting, which is how the NBA does it.
Yeah.
Trade for Anthony Davis, who apparently still doesn't want to be in New Orleans, even though they got Zion Williamson.
Because he knows that it's meaningless there.
Why?
It's New Orleans, guys. It's so far out of the mindset basketball down there. It's just not even in the same realm of thought that, basketball is never going to be a high priority in Louisiana.
He wants out just because he's done with New Orleans.
Right. He doesn't enjoy the area.
So
anymore.
You trade him for the number 3 or 4 pick.
Sure.
To LA or New York.
Sure.
In New
and
Orleans,
a package of players.
New Orleans could still get a really good package for a better package for Anthony Davis than what they were going to be getting last year.
I think we might see that.
Or you send him to Boston for Jason Tatum in the 14th overall pick. Which Blazer fans, BT Dubs, you should be pretty excited about what they said. You know, guys like Jay Billis and the draft Knicks were saying that in most years, you have guys who fall from the first round to the second round because of character issues or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They said that there's going to be guys in the second round this year that should be first round talent in most years just because it's loaded. It's top
three.
So
the Blazers pick at 25.
Okay. It's top 3, and then from like they say from 4 down to like 32, you're looking at kind of like I could see him working there. It's all about fit, so it's gotta be good news picking at 25 that they said that. All right, that's our NBA draft lottery breakdown.
I thought it was interesting, very interesting.
Ooh. How's the stadium situation in New Orleans? Bring him to Seattle. Says
Smoothie Dio. King? The Smoothie King place is big time.
It's Zion, relatively new.
Zion to the restarted Sonics?
Please. Please. Bring back you the I-5 rivalry.
Zion Rain. Yeah, bring back the I-5 rivalry. We'd love to kick Seattle's butt again.
Let's get baseball and basketball back up in the I-5. Let's go.
Yes. All right. Blazers lose. Terry Stotts angry. Dusty and Cam next.
I would like to see the balls out. Tampering.
What? Tampering?
So, yeah, I just very briefly, it very quickly within the No, I know. But then the Twitter
feed.
Throwing
grenade out there. Tampering.
Sean Payton immediately. As soon as I got done talking about how nobody cares about basketball down in New Orleans, Sean Payton tweets out a picture of Zion in a Saints uniform going, just a thought. Just thinking. Thinking out loud.
Two sports stars, Zion Williamson.
And then his Twitter feed just lights up. Brady's got better hands, Bo Jackson. Nobody cares about basketball there. Zion would be a pretty good football player.
Yeah, he would. I loved how they put it on the in like normal people terms on the broadcast on ESPN. They're like, Zion Williamson is J.J. Watt, but more athletic.
That's it.
Oh.
It's like, okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, football's a big deal there.
Gotcha. The Jets fired their general manager.
Can you believe this?
Do you know who it was?
No.
Mike.
Oh, Mike Tannenbaum.
Nope.
Oh, I'm
he's in Miami.
That's right. He's still there.
Mike McKagan. McKaganen? He has a name. McKaganen. He has a name that sounds made up. McKaganen.
Sounds Irish.
Sounds very Irish or Scottish. McKaganen.
Very forgettable. Well, you just kind of tail off like, what's his name? Mike McKaganen. And then they fired VP of player personnel, Brian.
My goodness.
Heimerdinger. These are made up.
These aren't real people. This is fake. This is a fake Twitter feed.
Maybe they fired them because they couldn't say their names.
They fired Mike McKaganen and then Brian Heimerdinger. No wonder you sucked.
Oh, come on, you guys had fake people. Are you name shaming?
Yeah, my name is Dusty Hera. I have a right to
name shamer.
My name.
Of all the teams in New York that are going to start firing people, it was not the Jets. It was going to be Gettleman and the rest of the crew for the Giants. Holy dysfunction, true. Batman.
Now Adam Gase runs the show.
Good for Adam and his crazy eyes.
Yeah, get used to those. Well, that sucks for those guys. Like on a personal level, that sucks for them.
Yeah, getting fired sucks.
Yeah, losing your job.
Yeah, big time.
I think Terry Stotts is going to lose his job. I think he's doing okay. Blazers in the Western Conference Finals. He's getting testy with media about the defensive style that had everybody upset last night as they were sagging the big men about 10 to 15 feet away from Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
You know, Houston had some success, you know, trapping Steph and really getting out on him. Is this sustainable for you guys to keep dropping the big so far?
I can't remember. When he had 33 in the second half, were they trapping then?
Yes.
They were? And he scored 33 in the second half?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll look at that.
Ooh, yikes.
A little salty there.
He was irked.
Well, he deserved to be because he's probably very frustrated.
Look, they took a gamble and it failed in game one. Mm-hmm. Defensively, they took a gamble. They said our guys can fight over a screen and we're going to have help in the middle so we don't get diced at the rim. It didn't work.
To be fair to Stotts, too, the way that Steph and Klay had been shooting the three ball in the last series.
Sure.
And what he pointed out about, okay, Klay was hot last game and Steph, I mean, yeah, he had the 33 points, but you don't want to just let it, running him off the line didn't work. Trapping him didn't work at the end of last game. Not a bad thought early on, but obviously as the game went on, it failed them.
It's greatest shooter in the history of this game.
Well, this
probably
is
probably get a hand up.
Greatest shooting backcourt.
Oh, of course.
In the history of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. And you said beat us, they beat you, and you got to live with it. And that is going to be a tough pill to swallow, and it was for Terry Stotts, because especially when Damian Lillard comes to the podium after the game, and he was not trying to subvert Terry Stotts or bash him in any way. He just did what he always did and spoke the truth.
That was very poor execution, you know, defensively on our part. Just having our bigs back that far, understanding, you know, the team that we playing against, they're not going to shoot mid-range jumpers and try to attack the rim. If they see an opportunity to shoot a three, they're going to take it. And they shoot it at a high clip. So we got to bring our guys up and run them off the line. And tonight we were, you know, they were setting solid screens and they coming off, you know, shooting practice shots. And, you know, that's the last thing we need if we want to have any chance to, you know, to beat this team.
Well, got to change something up if you're going to beat them, because last night it didn't work. Blazers in a 1-0 series hold. Don't panic. It's game one. I'll give you the stat one more time. The Warriors are 18-1 now in game ones with Steve Kerr as their head coach. They are 27-1 this year when Kevin Durant is out and Steph Curry is in the lineup. they're a good team, all right? So there's going to be time for the Portland Trail Blazers. Game two is tomorrow. Tonight you have game one of the Western Conference, or Eastern Conference Finals. Game one starts tonight. I thought that this was funny. So on, what's John Oliver's show called on?
Last Week Tonight.
Last Week Tonight. I always want to say Yesterday Today.
That's going to be the spinoff.
Don't know why, but Yesterday Today. The Last Week Tonight. Mm-hmm. John Oliver had Bill Nye the Science Guy on. And this is an all-timer for Bill Nye talking to the...
Are we sure it wasn't dubbed?
Oh, no, it's Bill Nye.
We believe it?
What do you mean dubbed?
I thought it was... Okay, all right.
Did you watch the video?
I did, but maybe it was in
a
different...
This is totally Bill Nye.
Okay.
This is totally Bill Nye. The Science Guy, he goes off on the generation he raised.
I've got an experiment for you. Safety glasses on. By the end of this century, if emissions keep rising, the average temperature on Earth could go up another 4 to 8 degrees. What I'm saying is the planet's on f***ing fire. There are a lot of things we could do to put it out. Are any of them free? No, of course not. Nothing's free, you idiots. Grow the f*** up. You're not children anymore. I didn't mind explaining photosynthesis to you when you were 12, but you're adults now, and this is an actual crisis. Got it? Safety glasses off, motherfuckers.
I don't care what side of that debate you're on. That's funny seeing a guy you grew up. It'd be like Mr. Rogers cussing for a lot of kids. For a lot of people, that
I didn't
is,
think it was him. I thought it was a voice dubbed over, but
no,
all right.
That's totally Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
All right.
Also, something to keep an eye on. Duquesne Athletics, they just ripped off Damian Lillard's logo.
Did they?
It's egregious.
Yeah.
It'll
be a trademark guy knocking on their door very quickly.
I'm going to tweet out
license
a photo.
Official.
I'm going to tweet out the official Duquesne press release with their new logo.
What is Duquesne Sports? What are they? What do they make?
They're college football, basketball.
Well, what do they make? Like
college.
They're a manufacturer.
They make
what
college make? Degrees. Duquesne University.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. What do they make?
It's all ball bearings.
So they make student athletes.
Okay. That's what I was going for.
There you go. All right, up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon. Noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk. We'll see you tomorrow. This has been Dusty and Cam on The Fan. Check out the Bonzi Wells interview on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. It was a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.